Okay.
It always makes you fight.
He made my punch list.
And that was our first fight. Time is a flat circle.
Like, two people are gonna get this.
Ooh. Love, Kale.
Ew. I want him to crawl to me.
Now that was spicy.
Your Honor, I love him.
Gross. Why choose means you don't choose.
I want a third act breakup because I want him to grovel.
There are exceptions to every rule.
Trust me, I'm a father. Don't worry, Daddy's got you. Welcome to chapter 20 of the Smut Daddy podcast. Hello,
hey guys,
everybody.
Welcome back.
I am your host, Father Lib, aka the Smut Daddy.
And I am your co-host, Sister Britt. And we are just two besties that found each other on Bookstagram and can't imagine life without the other now.
And we are very excited today because the one and the only, a small town queen, Adriana, is here with us today. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I am so excited to be here.
I'm so glad that you're here. We were just chatting before and I was like, when you responded to that TikTok though, I was like, am I dreaming? Sometimes I don't know what's going on. And I'm like, maybe I made it all up in my head, but I'm just so glad you're here. And then you sent us wonderful copies of your book.
Yes,
and I just can't wait to talk about all of the things today. How is life going post release? Was it a good, did you think it was a good release? I mean, I've seen nothing but amazing hype for it. How is life and your holidays going?
So good. I am just thrilled with the response to Between Now and Forever, which was my last release. It was really special for me to write that, and I loved them so much. And it's kind of hard when you love a character so much when you write them, and then you release them, there's like extra pressure, because we love all of our characters, but sometimes we love them just a little more. Mm-hmm. And when you just worry, like, oh my God, like, I hope people like them as much as I do. So I'm really happy with the response. I think people really have gotten out of the story what I wanted them to, and that is always a good day.
Amen. So good. I like can't wait for us to do a big deep dive on it, because I loved it. It was so good. Have you been reading anything? Do you try to read when you are writing, or do you say like no when you dive into TV, or what does that look like for you?
I can't read while I'm writing. Like, the stories get mixed up. I also can't listen to music while I'm writing, because I'm listening to that storyline, and then I stop and I'm just sitting here like, and they got in the cop car and what? You know, I'm like waiting for that whole thing. And so I can't do two things at once, but I'm also a bad multitasker. I remember I could multitask so well in my 20s. Like, I could have like all these things going on. And now I can't even listen to an audiobook and like walk. I'll just stand and like stare at the wall while I listen.
You're involved in what, the story?
Yes.
Okay, I was like, chewing gum as well.
I have to, while I listen to an audiobook, I have to do a mindless like puzzle on my phone to keep my brain semi like engaged in something. But like, because if I just try to listen to the story, it just wanders off to way too, like, I'm like, what did I just listen to the last 20 minutes?
Like, I'm over here in like the crazy ADD land where I'm like, if I'm not doing something critical while listening to a book, I probably don't know what's going on in the book, because then I'm like, what? My brain like needs that extra like, turn it off, please just turn it off. And
I talk to SL Scott. She writes romance too. I talk to her about every day. And if I don't go outside and like walk laps around my driveway or something, she'll be like, get up, because I'll like focus on whatever's in front of me. Like, if I'm at my desk or something and she's talking, I'm like, yeah, yeah. She's hearing even listening to me. And I'm like, yeah, yeah.
Like, tunnel vision at my computer.
Yes. I'm terrible. I've lost the magic to that. But I don't remember what your question was now, but yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is the most real thing you've ever said, because that's me every day of my life. I'll be like, what? Squirrel over there. Did you see that? Yeah. So do you try to read after? Like, say, do you release a book and then you're like, oh, I have something I want to read or I want to watch before like you start diving into your next book?
Yeah, I always have like my TBR. So I just started a book by Maggie Gates. He's a single dad rancher or a cowboy. I haven't gotten that far into it.
Series, you're
Fireline,
talking
maybe?
Yes, or
okay,
Star, or something like that. Like,
I recognize her and that title.
And I can see the cover.
Yeah.
I can see it on my friend Danny's page, because she loves Maggie. So I know
I can
exactly
like picture the font. That's like so random.
So it's really good. I haven't got that far into it, but I'm really liking the way that she's telling stories. So I always have something that I read, and I don't read a ton until we go on our family vacation in the summer, and then I read like you know, binge read. Usually I'll find like one author at the beginning and I read like everything that she's ever written. So this year it happened to be Elizabeth O'Rourke. Fell in love. I'm obsessed. Year before that was Teal. My family was going to the beach and I'm like, deuces, I'll be right here when you get back.
There's something about those grumpy alpha hole men
that
fall really hard for.
It's my favorite thing. Like I want somebody grumpy. Bonus points if he's in an office. Yep. Bonus points if they're enemies to lovers. And extra bonus points if it's a trilogy. Like not a series, but a trilogy. Like that's my, like, I will stop my life.
Your bread and butter.
Yeah, for sure.
Know who you want to read this year for your family vacation, or have you not picked your author yet?
Haven't picked it yet because we won't go. And usually June to August is really busy with like family coming in and we take a vacation and we do something with my mother-in-law. And so I have like 5 months to kind of see what comes out from everyone. Yeah.
There's a lot of good books coming out next year too. So I'm already like having a hard time. Like all of my favorite authors need to chill. You all need to chill out because I was like, I think I'm going to take a break next year. And then every author that I love, I was like, well, they're all coming out with books. So we're just going to slowing down.
I know. I was like, we're going to slow down in 2025. And then the January release post that was just posted today, I was like, my God,
I was like, we are not slowing down in January.
There's no rest for the wicked, okay? And we're all reading smut, so I guess we're just trucking along. Were you always a reader? Like, have you always loved reading? Did you grow up reading? Who did you grow up reading?
I've always liked books since I was a little girl. I remember my grandfather, like, sitting me on his lap and reading me stories. Only when I got older did I realize that my grandpa, I don't really think he could really read. Oh. And so he would like tell me nursery rhymes, but I don't know any nursery rhyme that's actually the way that it goes. He would just like make things up. And so all of my nursery rhymes are like completely skewed. But he always like read to me. And so I remember reading like my whole life, not necessarily romance, but you know, starting off, you know, the Boxcar Children and Judy Blume and all of those kind of stories. So I've always been a reader.
I love it. I feel like a lot of authors that we've had on or that you just chat with are like, it was just in my blood. And I'm like, well, that makes perfect sense how you got led to this path then. When did you realize that you were like, okay, like romance exists? Do you remember kind of the time when you found it?
Being really young and too young to really understand romance and reading the Babysitter's Club. And one of them, I think it was, Dawn Gets a Boyfriend. In one of those early books. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I was like, it must have been like 10. I don't know. And I had my little like childhood. Like I loved like those kind of stories. And then I remember in high school, I had a little stint of liking romance. And then I sort of went off the rails. And my oldest son was at football practice. This was like back in like the, you know, 50 Shades era. And a mom sat down next to me. We had our lawn chairs. And she sits down. She goes, I know you like books. Have you ever read 50 Shades of Grey? And I'm like, no, I haven't. And she's like, well, come on. And she just gets up and walks to her truck and she's like, come on. And I'm like, I don't know. I know this lady, but I don't like know this lady. So we get in.
Does she have
truck.
Extra copies in there ready just to hand out to people?
We go to her house.
I'm turn every football mom on to smut.
I barely know her last name. And here I am like, leaving my kid at football practice. I'm at this lady's house. And we're at her house. And she, like, goes back into, like, whatever room, comes back with this book. You would think that she's giving me, like, the Ten Commandments or something. And she's like, here, read this. But you're not getting book two because I'm not done and I want this back. And I'm like, yes, ma'am.
That's a great friend right there. A great stranger. Yes. I mean, it also kind of sounds like a bad setup to, like, a Criminal Minds episode. So I'm really glad that you're okay, but I'm a huge 50 Shades fan. I love when authors bring it up and say like, oh, well, I kind of found romance through it, because I'm just like, I think a lot of us had that pipeline. I read a lot of my mom's Nora Roberts books too early because she would leave them on her side table and I would be like, wonder what that is. Then I learned. Then I 50 Shades, and then I learned it was like a fanfic from Twilight. I was like, well, there's no turning back. There was nothing else that mattered to me.
You know, I had my first like moment as an adult reading romance with 50 Shades because I wasn't really like, I didn't really like him at first. And I was kind of reading it and I'm kind of listening like, come or go. I don't really care either way.
Just a jerk in an office that's a billionaire.
Yes. And I remember where I was sitting at our bar at our cabin, and my sister-in-law was there with her kids, and I have this book, and I'm kind of thinking, like, if I go back to football practice and I tell this mom that I didn't like this book, I don't know what her reaction is going to be. And I don't really, I at least have to finish it, right? And I remember sitting there, and I get to the spot where Christian Grey says, how many Cosmopolitans are you going to drink? He texts her that. And I remember my face, I put that book down. I thought, oh my God, I love him. And like, from that moment on, my life was never the same. That line changed my entire life.
Did you have a moment of panic though? Like, oh my gosh, stalker. I remember reading that line too. And I was like, wait, he's not there. He was not at the bar. So I remember like, stalker. But then I was like, wait, that's kind of hot that he checks up on her.
Well, see, my first reaction was, that's hot. Even though that I know that he's not there. So then after I have this moment of like face watching, like, oh my God,
self-reflection.
Like, then it's like, what's wrong with me?
Oh yeah. I feel like we all
can I tell people this? And then here we are.
Did you go back and tell the mom from football practice that that's what changed your life was him stalking her?
I don't know. I remember taking her the book back to like literally the next practice because clearly you finish it in one sitting. And I'm like this. And she's like, I'm not done with book two. You can't have it. And I'm like, well, you need to read faster, lady. So I went on by my own copies, obviously. I know, right?
Did you like the movie adaptations when they came?
I didn't watch it.
What?
Because I
being genuinely shocked because I thought the movies honestly were pretty good for the era.
I've seen clips, but nothing intentionally. I think I was afraid to watch it because I've been burned before with, because you know, things aren't what they are in our brain.
Oh,
and sometimes
no.
Like that's really hard. And I didn't want, and I will never say what book this is. And this wasn't 50 Shades, but one time I was obsessed with the book. I mean, obsessed. And an author wrote the second one from the other person's POV, and it ruined the entire thing for me. Mm. So now I feel like, not because it was bad, but because it changed what I thought in the first book. And so now if I have something so special to me, like I kind of don't, I like lock it away in a box.
Yeah, I can get that. I remember, and I don't know if this is the book you're talking about or not, but I love Twilight. Like it literally changed my soul. So then when Midnight Sun came out though, I had a hard time picking that up because I was like, what do you mean all of a sudden this man has a million words to say in his brain? Because it was like this thick. And I was like, New Moon is like this thick. What are you talking about? That man wasn't even there. What do you mean he has things to say when he leaves her? But I ended up liking it, but I was scared. It took me a long time to pick it up because I was like,
never read Twilight and I've never watched the movie. I know.
A fellow,
I would be surprised.
No Twilight person. Yes.
Twilight. Because we had an author come on and she was like, I would like to do a deep dive on Twilight. And I was like, sold, because that means Brittany.
I have to do it now.
I have to do it.
Because I haven't done 50 Shades either. I haven't read it. I haven't watched it. But like, I remember when.
You haven't read it?
No.
But
I remember when the books. I know. I
remember
when the books were popular and out though, and like conversations happening. And I was involved in the conversations, but I just wasn't a reader at that time. I was like deep into my TV watching. And then I was obsessed with Sons of Anarchy and Charlie Hunnam was maybe gonna be in it and things like that. So I took like interest in that, but then he dropped out and stuff. And then I was like, okay, well, I wasn't gonna watch it now that he's not in it. And I just moved on with my life.
You're like, well, there's no point of watching that when the hot man's not on there.
Right.
Oh my
gosh.
I still have fantasies of Charlie Hunnam as Christian Grey.
Oh.
That lives in my brain.
Yeah.
Blonde MMC, one version of Charlie Hunnam. Like, he fits the mold. He can be in a suit. He can be in a motorcycle cut. He can be anything in between.
I used to only think of Charlie for Blonde MMCs. And then Alan Richson, like the big Hulk guy. He was in Blue Mountain State as a boy. And then he came back and as a man was in this other one. And I was like, wait, I think I would love him in any. He can do anything he wants as a blonde man. Reacher! Because Reacher was the books, and then he finally got to play Reacher.
Oh,
you were like, action.
Okay.
But I remember, like, in the first scene, he's such a large man in it that they don't have handcuffs that fit him, so they put in them zip ties. And so he's sitting in a prison cell with zip ties, and then they go, okay, you're free to go. And he just breaks them when he stands up. And I was like, you know what? That's the best first 5 minutes of a TV show. I was, like, binge-watching all of it. I was like, oh, my God.
So when I was writing my very first book, which was called The Exception, my best friend's Mandy Beck, and she was writing her first book too. And we would have this little thing where we would write one chapter or two chapters, then we would watch like an episode of Sons of Anarchy. That was how we binged the whole thing. And there is nothing hotter. I remember like messaging her and I'm like, you know, being in prison doing push-ups should not be this hot. Like, I should yes. be like, what a You're bad like, person. I'm like, could you just take a better shot of that, please? Like, oh my Lord.
And who knew a haircut could just make a world of difference? Oh my God.
That is something that I think is so underappreciated. And I know we're on tangent, but when you see the long hair and they're hot, and then you get a transformation to short hair, my favorite ever is Eric Northman in True Blood. And I'm like, stop, someone help. Because like, he was just so yummy and a vampire. Clearly I have a thing for vampires. So
clearly.
I have a thing for Vikings. Have you ever seen the show Vikings?
Yes.
I mean, literally. Okay, I'm like,
I didn't do that one, but I did The Lost Kingdom, which was kind of
so good.
Adjacent, good. I guess. It was really good. I love that
one. Best Viking movie, which I also just have a problem with the actor that played Eric Northman, Alexander Skarsgård, but he plays the Northman in that Viking movie. He's so large and so ginormous and just like this badass Viking that I was like, you know what? Long hair never really bothered me on you anyway. You know, I'm like, you braid that hair, dude, and you just be amazing.
Do you know that the Skarsgård's brother plays Floki in Vikings?
Yes.
I found that out, and I was like, you're kidding me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're a great family. I know. That was a random but that's what
they're a very talented family.
That is And well, I remember when, like, I don't watch scary stuff, but I remember when Bill got the new role for It, and I was like, what do you mean there's more Skarsgårds? I was like, there's literally so many of them, and Alexander is the oldest. And that's where I have a thing. That's, like, my one age gap exception for me. I'm like, you know what? You're not too old for me, sir. Come on. Bring it on, dude.
Oh, my husband knows that I would divorce him right now for Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care that he's 100, that age gap.
No one cares. Literally. And no one cares.
Cares.
We would all be
clapping
and being like, can we come to the wedding? So when you do get to go into like the summers and do your reading, do you think you only stick, like, do you try to just pick the author, or are you also basing it off of trope? Do you have a favorite trope to read versus writing?
Yeah, I love the enemies to lovers. I love the office romance, the billionaire, the jerk. Like, I love that. Like, Whitney G is one of my favorites because almost all of her heroes are like, at some point you're like, I'm supposed to hate you, but like, I don't. Like, that's my favorite. So I go into it with just like a huge TBR. And then I always find, it seems like, not, oh, the Wolf Hotel series.
So good. So
I binged the shit out of that this year.
Yep.
But like, I find something.
That's a little bit of an older series. How amazing.
At Book Bonanza, Mandy Beck was like, I don't know how you've not read this. And I'm like, well, I haven't. So I started reading it on the way home and like just fell in love. So it usually happens like that. I don't stop like, oh, I'm going to read this author, like whatever. But I find something and then I'm like, okay, we're now best friends. She doesn't know it, but now I'm going to read everything that she's ever read.
I love that you're a reader at heart and feel what we feel.
Oh, I totally do. I remember messaging T.L. Swan and I'm like, she's going to think I'm a stalker. But I was like, I love you.
You're like, I love you, but also I am kind of your peer because I write as well.
You don't know who I am, but I
love you,
amazing.
And thank you for Tristan Miles.
Yes, exactly. The second book in that series will always stand out for me. It wasn't my favorite book, but that scene with in the cemetery, I won't spoil it for anyone. I was bawling. My family comes back in from the beach and I'm sitting there just sobbing hysterically. But I also have 4 sons. I'm a mom of boys. I think that probably like helped. But my family's like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like trying to tell them and they're like, get ready for dinner.
We're done.
Care.
Why did we
I'm like, how do you not care? My world was just wrong.
Mom, because like one minute you are sobbing and then the next minute you are raging. Like, she will drop things on you. Dr. Stanton is one of my all-time favorite books, but there are moments in that where I'm like, I'm literally going to come in that book and I'm going to murder you. Straight up. There will be no more Dr. Stanton. How about that? Like, but then at the end of it, I'm like, it's so beautiful and he apologizes and grovels and everything's okay.
Love him. And it's so good. But those are the books that I think that we remember. And, you know, the books that kind of take you on that. Like, you know, it's not just a book. It's like an experience. It's a journey.
An emotional roller coaster. In my books, like, if I'm crying, 5 stars. stars, guys. You guys made me bawl and laugh out loud. Girl, it's all amazing.
What was it about? I don't know, but I cried. 5 stars.
You were like, it is both serious emotion from me. So you're reading. When did you decide, like, hey, I think I want to write a romance book? Like, when did you have, like, a specific moment? Were you not finding what you were looking for? How did your first series come to be?
So my husband and I were, it was a cold February evening, and my kids were at my mother's house, and I was telling my husband, I'm like, there's nothing on this Kindle that I want to read. And he was like, I have seen our Amazon bill. That is a lie. And I'm like, I don't want to read anything right now. You know, it's like you go to the grocery store, you buy all the things and you come home and order pizza. I need the pizza. And so he was like, I dare you to write your own book. And I'm like, you're crazy, because I could never, like, I don't have the attention span for that. Like, I'm not that creative, like, whatever. And he was like, no, I dare you. Like, I think you could do it. I want you to do it. And I'm like, well, fine, I'll write a book. And so I started, like, mapping out this story, kind of just kidding at first. And then I was sort of like, well, maybe I could just see how it works. And, like, you know, like, just kind of play with this. And I played with that first story for a long time until I hit a spot where I would, like, put it away for a couple weeks and get it back out and, like, mess with it. And finally, one day I was like, holy crap, like, I love this. Mm-hmm. And I remember just sitting there, and then I, you know, Mandy was like, well, I'm writing too. And so we just sort of, like, did it together. I mean, she's in Chicago and I was in Southern Indiana, so, like, we weren't, like, doing it together, but every night, like, we would have the kids to bed and we would just write all night long, and it was so much fun. And then one day I had a finished novel and I was like, well, screw it, let's see what happens if I publish
it. Let's put it out in the world.
And it, people liked it.
Where you are at now.
If you, like, want to be a writer, there's somebody out there that wants to hear what you have to say. And not everybody, because a lot of people get on Goodreads and make sure that you know that they don't, but there are people who do, and everyone should give it a try.
Yeah. Do you still get on Goodreads, or do you try to avoid Goodreads?
I do, because I hate myself, apparently.
You are so real, and I love it. Do you think that you saw the success you wanted better, or, like, not as good with that first book, first series?
So I wanted to sell, like, 11 books. Like, I had this goal, and I was like, my mom will buy it, my husband will buy it, and, like, if two random people buy it, that'd be great. Will
best be up in
there. Mandy will buy 5 copies. You know what I mean? Like, I was adding them all up and, like, adding two, and I'm like, this is my number, you know? And that first book, this is before Kindle Unlimited. It was like 10 years ago. And it hit 103 on Amazon. And I was
dumbstruck. Incredible, especially back then.
Dumbstruck. Like, literally, like, I was like, oh my God. Like, never, like, I didn't plan on writing as a career. Like, I was just going to write this book, see how it worked, and then be like, hey, your mom wrote a book, like, you know, 10 years ago or something. And I remember my husband coming in and he was like, well, you just found yourself a job. Yeah. I was like, yes. I don't really know how to do this.
Your career goal to be a mom? Like, or did you have another set career goal?
Stay-at-home mom at that point. Like, we own different businesses and my husband does real estate. And so I would help him do things and whatever. But I also feel like it was a perfect kind of storm, because I was at the time of my life, I think I was 33, and my youngest son was getting ready to go into kindergarten. And I have 4 boys. Mm-hmm. And so he was like 3 or 4 years old. And I was at the part of my life where I was like, I have spent so much time, like, figuring out how to get gum out of carpet. You know, that was the day's challenge, you know, like, okay, he threw a pin in the washing machine. Now what do I do? Yeah. And I wanted something more and something for me. And not that motherhood wasn't fulfilling for me, because I live for my children, right? But like the adult woman part of me, you know, like, what more did I have to offer the world? Mm-hmm. And so I found that through writing, and I had no idea that it would be there.
I love it. We are all moms, but yes. I think it's so great, though, to hear, like, hey, like, I didn't take anything away from my motherhood journey. It just made everything continue and push forward and grow, especially when your youngest is going, like, into the school system. I feel like you step back and you're like, okay, now what? Because you're like,
What do I do now?
Survived raising 4 boys, and they're all alive, and they're going to school and thriving. So now it's like, okay. And I think that's so great. So did you plan it as a standalone, or did you leave it open to be more? Or did you find that was hard to create a series out of what you wanted to be a standalone?
So when I read, I have this, like, thing where I almost always prefer the side character over the main character. Chrissy Bromberg's Driven series. Yep. Like, you're supposed to love Colton. And I love Colton. Don't get me wrong. I love Beckett. Yeah. I was, like, just obsessed with him. And so that's kind of, like, the way that I just didn't think I'm built as a person. And so when I was writing The Exception, hero's name's Kane. Kane had a best friend named Max. And so he had a storyline through it, but like I was always thought like that's not going to ever be addressed. Like I'm just going to write this one book and that's it. Standalone, yeah. Done. And so when I realized that, oh my gosh, like maybe people want to read more from me, I went back and wrote Max's story.
Did you feel like it had just as good as payoff?
No, it was absolutely horrible. Really? No one has ever read that book.
Surprising.
I think I shouldn't have written that. I should have written, my heart was already kind of in Sacrifice, like the other story that I ended up writing. But also I had a falling out kind of with a friend and it really just broke my heart.
Yeah.
And I was sort of grieving that friendship while I was writing that book, and I didn't market it, and I just didn't, like, I was just ready to walk away from it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Friendships, that sometimes I swear those are harder than anything else.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, I've had a million boyfriends or who or not, but friends, that one hurts a little deep.
It did. And so I was done, and then my husband told me, I had been talking about Sacrifice for a long time, and my husband said, I don't care what you do, like, you can quit if you want, but, like, write Sacrifice. And he's like, I want you to market it and I want you to write it and believe in it and then publish it. And then I will never ask you to do anything again.
Yeah.
And he doesn't ask anything of me anyway. And I was like, fine, but you're beta reading it. And he's like, fine. So I wrote Sacrifice and refound my love of writing.
Did your husband love it?
Cool.
Yeah, he loved it. You can't come to our house without getting a copy of Sacrifice. Like, the missionaries have came to our house, and my husband, like, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and my husband's like, my wife reads books.
What a good
person. Let's not do that.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you come to my house with your own material, I'm going to send you with some, too.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. He's like, reading material swap.
How about you learn about your God? How about you learn about my God?
And you show up to our house, you're walking out with a copy. He'll sometimes help me at book signings, and I'm like, we are going to promote The Proposal because I'm in that series. This is a book one. This is what we're angled on. 2 minutes later, I have no Sacrifices. I'm like, dude, like, I love that, but like, that's not what we're doing here.
So is he a good beta reader? Does he give good feedback and suggestions?
Yeah, I mean, he is pretty, that's the only one he's ever done.
Oh.
And I will say he did shape. There's a lot of him in Crew Gentry, which is the hero of that story. My husband's fingerprints are all over that. Oh, and he'll tell everyone, I basically wrote that. He's got all my lines.
Typical man.
What a good man. Yeah, seriously. So did you see the success right away with that one, like you wanted to?
That one, I remember being in my office and, like, I never have an expectation for really anything. I'm just kind of like, enjoyed it. I liked it. Like, I hope other people like it. And my phone, I got a text and I looked down and it was a text from a number that I didn't know. And I still don't know how she got my phone number, but I looked down and it says, hi, this is Lauren Blakely. You just hit the USA Today bestsellers list.
Holy shitballs.
I would have lost my...
And I was like, for real? And she's like, yes, congratulations. I didn't think I was going to, like, what? You know, I was like, and I remember just screaming and I was jumping up and down and I was like, going crazy, crying, and my little boy comes in. He's like, what's the matter? I'm like, it's like he's jumping up and down with me. Well, my husband had just left with my oldest son to take somebody home that was visiting us, and I call my husband's phone, dying, as you can imagine.
He probably thinks that, like, something's terribly wrong.
My oldest son answers the phone, and I've been having computer trouble that day. My oldest son had been on my computer, like, trying to fix whatever button I had hit, you know. And I'm like, Alexander, I need to talk to your dad. And he's like, well, he's driving. What do you want? You know, he's like, and I'm like, I just hit the USA Today bestsellers list. And he's like, we know. And I said, what?
I'm gonna take the wind out of your sails, man.
And he's like, somebody named Lauren texted you. It showed up on your phone before we left the house.
Yay.
That is, though, so funny. Kids are hilarious.
So anyway, there's a story for you.
No, guys, those are the stories that we love. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I would have lost my mind straight up. I would have been like, listen, I've made it. Lauren Blakely texted me.
And you're like, and now I have your phone number. That's on you, girl.
Now you're stuck with me for life. Did you just continue off the success of that? Like, okay, like, did that really get, like, the win going in your sales? Like, I can do this. Like, I can write books. People love them. And, like, did you see the direction you needed to go?
Yeah, I mean, I did. Like, I found my confidence, which I think is, like, as a writer and as a woman and as a human, I think confidence is, like, mm-hmm. the hardest thing. Like, it's the hardest thing to find and to believe and to, like, hold on to. But I sort of found my footing with Sacrifice and was like, okay, like, I can do this, I think, right? And so I had some other story ideas and I started writing them and just kind of pushing forward and just trying to keep, you know, kind of doing what I'm doing. But also, I guess, as from the perception, it's sort of like, I don't know, traumatized me to not to use that word like lightly. But like, mm-hmm. I realized then that it can go very much like this. Like, you can have one book that is fantastic and that means nothing going forward, you know?
Right.
So I've sort of, that kind of set me in a way where I'm kind of like, this could stop at any time. Like, yeah. You have to work for it. You can't get lazy about things. And you have to want it every day when you wake up, just like anything else.
That's so good. Did you feel like marketing was harder back then or harder now?
Oh my God, it's harder now. Like, it's so much harder.
I'm like, just when you think you figure out the algorithm, it changes and you got to figure something else out,
I feel like. And TikTok. Like, that TikTok came. Remember, our house burned down in 2019 in December.
Oh.
And so we were living in this, like, apartment during COVID lockdown because we couldn't buy a house, we couldn't move, we couldn't do anything. And I remember Shel Sloan calling me and she was like, you've got to get on TikTok. She's like, everyone's on TikTok, everybody's at home, you have to do this. And I was like, I don't have the bandwidth for that. Right. Our house just burned down, my mom's dying of cancer. Like, I had all these things that were happening at the same time to me. There were huge things. I'm like, I can't get on. No, like, I'm not.
There's too much life going on.
TikTok. And so, like, I never figured it out, and I sort of avoided it for so long that it has made marketing so much harder. And for me, like, what I like most about the book world and writing and marketing is getting to know people and having conversations and, like, you know, learning, like, who people are and who their kids are and, like, you know, their stories. Yeah. And that was so much easier when it was Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
You could make those connections. But now when you're splitting your time, too, on TikTok and having to understand that, it made that approach harder unless you have somebody behind the scenes running an account for you, which I don't like. That's not my thing. It's it's a lot harder for me to make those connections. And so, I know I'm somebody, if I don't understand, I'll just run away from my problems. I'll just avoid them.
You're preaching to the preacher. Get out of here. but you're figuring it out. I see your TikToks. I see them and I see them go viral. And I'm like, that's why I think I was so shocked, is because I was like, no. I was like, no way. Because we're just little. We're just starting out. So I was like, no, that's a lie. TikTok lied to me. I was like, so you're clearly nailing it. But I do like the Bookstagram side a lot more. I feel like that's where I've made my genuine friendships.
Yes.
And, like, I feel like you can really, like, find your found family, like, over on Bookstagram, because it takes a lot more work to put into, like, hey, like, I'm here. Like, let's talk. Where TikTok, it is, you can't, like, you could just go viral one day and wake up to, like, a million people and be like, I don't know any of you. I literally don't know who you are.
For sure. And then you have to split your time into these three things. And so you can't just give your time to, like, two places. You have to do this whole other thing. And, like, it's exhausting. And then you still at some point have to write a book.
Like, then you have to write a book and still be a mom and a wife and everything else under the sun. And I can't, we applaud all authors. I think that is crazy that you guys can do it all. Like,
yes,
truly.
Especially if you're running all of it yourself. That's amazing. That's a feat in itself.
Well, I do have people who help me. But, like,
your son was on there the other day. That TikTok was hysterical. Like, in the best way. Like, I was like, oh, that is some good marketing.
Well, my sons are all really different, but that son of mine, he's funny. And he was like, there is a trend that I'm seeing on my TikTok, and I'm going to do it on your TikTok. And I'm like, stay away from my TikTok. You know what I mean? Because I don't know. He's untrustworthy. And he made that one. He's like, I'll post that. That's pretty funny.
It was absolutely so funny. Because I was watching.
See, I'm old and I don't do the clock app. So yeah, I don't know anything that's going on over in that side of the world.
Like, her bookshelves. And then he turned it around and it was him and not Adriana, and I was crying. It was so funny. And then I watched it again, which is exactly what you want. An algorithm to like it. I was like, hysterical. And then I was like, then I was thinking about it. Like, I wonder if she made him do that. Did he want to do that? It was so good.
They're funny. My kids are funny sometimes. Sometimes they're annoying, but sometimes they're pretty funny.
Right? Hey, you can preach that here. We're all about honesty. We love our children. But yes, I'm in the demon toddler
stage. I love you. Right, you're a little shithead, but I still love you.
Oh, yeah. We're in, like, I'm a demon terrorist 2.5-year-old right now. And then he turns around and, like, gives me a hug. And I'm like, I'm watching you. Like, I am on to you, sir. So you wrote a lot of things, obviously. But I found you through the Carmichael family.
Mm-hmm. And
obsessed. I was obsessed. Because I found you like book 3. And then I was like, okay, wait, well, she has all these other books. And I learned about your backlist. I think, dude, I haven't read your first series, which I want to now, obviously. But I read Sacrifice. But I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of me and my friends like found you with Carmichael. Like, do you feel like that put you more on the map, or was there something else? But I feel like when I was like, I found him, everyone else is like, me too. And I was like, what are we all doing? What's happening? Your marketing was marketing for sure with that one, because it was so, so good. I love it.
That series is one of my favorites because I, like I said, I have 4 boys, and in my Facebook group, I have always for 10 years, I tell these what I call luck tales, and they're stories that my kids do and say, and there are people in my group who have never read anything that I've ever written. They're there for the luck tales.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's too funny.
And people are like, you should write these and like bundle them. We would read these as a book, and I'm like, I don't even want to relive some of those moments. But this, everyone's always like, you know, which books of yours are most like your real life, right? So the Carmichael series are very heavily my family. Like, those are things that happen here. Daenerys and Kix are very much me and my husband. Things that they would do during the, I would write, like, my husband one day was, like, messaging my, he has a running joke with my kids about, like, they have to, he has a running tab. He's like, I'll add that to your tab. With all of your football, little kid, we've spent so much money on you. And so he's like, I'm just going to start, like, invoicing you guys. Like, Kix sends them all the messages, like, where he's, like, totaling what they owe him. So that's very much my family. I feel that's like that didn't
all your books are yeah. But that makes so much sense, because I wrote down on my end, I was like, it feels like my family, which that to tell you everything. Like, we don't have I don't have as big of a family, but I love it. So did you know it would be 5 books, or did you plan for 4 at first?
Usually always plan 5, because, and that's a selfish thing really more than anything, because I realized, I mean, I have like 45 books or 47 books or something.
You have a great backlist. Oh my gosh. I can't recommend them all enough.
Thank you. I know when I'm writing by book 5, I'm ready to do something else.
So yeah.
Like, that's kind of like a good length for me as a writer. But also, I know there's a lot of readers out there who don't want to commit to like a 10 book series. As a reader, I don't. Yeah. Like, it's too much. I don't want to feel the burden of like, oh my God, now I got to read all of these. Like, so I like to have new entry points into my worlds where you can, you know, you can stop. So I'll usually take a family member or a friend or something and spin them off into something else. And
I love that way. Always little hidden gems when you're picking someone up and you're like, oh my gosh, I saw you 2 series ago.
Exactly.
5 seconds. I loved it. I'm a details girly. And so those are the things that I eat up. I'm like, hey, what are you doing here?
Can I tell you though that I feel... Sorry, I feel like with the longer series, for some reason, I'm okay and I like them when I'm doing historical romances, because that's kind of where I went into. Oh, and I like it, but contemporary, I appreciate the smaller, shorter ones. So I don't know what it is about that, but I was like thinking, I'm like, huh, because some of my like historical ones are like 10, 12, 14 book series.
That one series you recommended to me was pretty long.
Yeah. With lots of novellas mixed in there too, so it makes it like 17, and you're like, what are you doing to me?
Somebody, we were talking about this, I think, in my Facebook group the other day, and somebody was like, oh, I'm on book 22 of a series. And I think it was historical, maybe.
Oh,
And I was like, you stuck with it for 22 books. That's amazing. Amazing.
Like, I feel like not even, but like SJM, like, you know, you're reading like 8 books and then they all connect. And then by the end, it's like 15. But I feel like I've really only seen it with historical and fantasy. So I think I would, if I saw a series in like small town land that was 10 books, I'd be like, that's for another day. I would be like, a lot to commit to. I would know everybody's business truly in that small town by book 10. I would be in it.
Well, I think that's the thing with like contemporary romance readers. We all have commitment issues. Like, you know what I mean? We love him today, him tomorrow. Literally. Or in the reverse harem today. Or what, you know, why choose or whatever we call it now.
Why choose?
So like, you know, you don't want to commit.
Yep, we're like, listen here. I found you with Carmichael family, but a lot of your series are this family. Like, did that happen organically where you were like Carmichael family series and then Brewer family series? Like, was that the goal? Do you like to keep things consistent with your titles? And so they are easy to like, hey, we can go all over.
If this is your question, I like to have my titles in each series very distinguishable from the others.
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
Yes, but like, I feel like they're all families, which is what I love. Like, oh, I feel like I haven't seen another author that just like commits, like they might have one or two where they're like, it's this family. But I feel like a lot of yours are like, that's what it is. Like, you're reading about this family, but then it makes it so likable to you. Like, I'm like, well, I know it's her. Like, the series title. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there was an author, she only wrote 3 books back in the day. Her name was Gail McHugh.
Okay.
I don't know. And she wrote it's a duet, Clyde and Pulse, which are 2 of my favorite like books ever. And she told me when I first started writing, she said, write what you know. It'll come out more authentic and you'll write it easier and the reader will believe it more easily because you're coming from a place of like, you know, expertise in a way, right? And so what I know are big families because I have a big family. And I know small towns because I grew up in a town of 900 people, you know?
Yeah.
And so those...
little cornfield town.
Yeah, little cornfield town in Indiana, you know? It's where I grew up. And so I feel like a lot of my books are those 2 things because I know them. And going into a new family is just, it feels like if I try to write a standalone, like between On Forever versus Standalone, right? I'm like, well, if he doesn't have a brother, who's he talking to? Like, you know what I mean? Like, who do you talk to if you don't have a sibling?
I have 100 people bothering me all the time.
Exactly. What do you mean? She's just standing there making dinner. No one's like trying to get her in an arm bar. You know, right. That work. I don't know.
I love it though, because I feel like a lot of people obviously know who you are, but like, I feel like you are like someone that just knows exactly what they're like, you know exactly what you're getting in the best way possible. Like, I'm like, I'm not going to be let down by this small town with a large, like with everybody that I want a book for too. Cause sometimes authors will be like, well, I didn't plan on a book for them, even though you saw them. And I love that you give us, like, if they're pretty much on their page, you're like, yeah, they don't worry. You're probably like, listen, don't DM me again, Libby, when that 5th book's coming. I'm like, well, he's been on the page 3 times.
Exactly. You gave him the last name.
I'm like, when you don't drop someone's last name, I'm like, not important. We don't even get attached. correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the Brewer family like blew up. Like, I feel like when I hear people and I talk to them about like, my God, like I was chatting with my friend, I was like, Adriana, she's coming on. And they were like, or she was like, her name, Eva. She was like, are you going to talk about the proposal and the invitation? And I was like, yeah, you think I'm not going to have her on here and chat about hot fucking rugby players? You're joking. You're joking. How did the Brewer family come to be? Because I feel like it's not that they're different, but it was, I don't know, it took me by storm. There's something about the proposal. Like, I normally am like, okay, like, another one's coming. Why was book 1 so good? Yeah, like, why was it, like, literally so good? Is it because he's rugby? Is it because he's hot and has big thighs? Like, do you like
rugby? Is it the thighs?
Yeah. Did you watch rugby? Were you like, listen, I can't watch any more rugby without, like, please tell me
all about it. I need a reason to explain that. I don't really watch a lot of rugby. I mean, I don't pass like the videos where they're doing like the, is it a haka? Is that how they pronounce the rugby? Yeah, like I love that, but like I don't really watch rugby too much, but it was a sport that I feel like is probably underrepresented in our world, and it's hot. I mean, it's not on our TV a lot here in this country, but I feel like...
Was the setting still the United States? Because I feel like rugby's just not big here.
So a part of that book is in Australia. And so, yeah, so he had played overseas and a lot. But so that book I actually had pitched to a publisher, and I had given them a couple of different options, and they didn't choose that one. And so I wrote the books that I had to write with the publisher, and I still had this book idea sitting here. And I was in a moment where I'm like, I need to write something different than I was writing. I wanted to do this year and last year have been about writing things I haven't written before. Like, what tropes have I not written? What kind of situations have I not written? And I wanted to do something different. And I had never written an oops marriage in Vegas. I had never written a rugby player. I don't write a lot of sports romance. And I was like, damn it, I'm going to write that book. And so
perfection. Let me tell you guys, you're not reading that book. I don't know what the hell is wrong with you. What are you guys doing with your life? Literally. I think that's why I took it so like by storm. Sorry to cut you off, but I loved Carmichael. It's so obvious, but I got an arc of the proposal and I was like, what do you mean? I was like, what do you mean? You guys just got married and hot and Australian. What do you mean? I was like, Adriana, what are you doing? In the best way possible.
When I wrote that book, it was going to be a standalone. Then he just started having siblings. And I'm like, another one's coming on the page. What are you talking about? You know? And so he ended up with this whole family. And so I published it, and it was kind of different for me. Like I said, I don't write a lot of sports romance, and I had never written like this oops marriage thing. And I was like, well, I'm just going to write this. I still had to finish the Carmichael series. And I thought, if readers like it, then I will write that series. And if they don't, I love this book, whatever, right? But readers really liked it. And so I have been writing that series. And that series, the next one will come out in February, and I'll finish it in April.
You had me. Could I just say you had me? Because I am an investigative journalist. There is nothing that you can really hide from. I'm on your Goodreads. I'm trying to like back into Amazon to be like, well, what's coming? So I was like, this is kind of interesting. We're in a trilogy. I was like, it's a trilogy. I was like, wow. And I'm like, but there's more going on here, especially when you get to the invitation. I'm like, listen, what's happening? And then you ran and we were like, by the way, book four, the merger. I was like, I fucking knew it. You tried to play all of us by keeping it off of everywhere. And then you just randomly dropped it. And I was like, I knew it. I absolutely knew it. Is there any little, it's okay if you can't, but is there any little things you can give us about the merger?
I can't tell you which hero it is. There are two brothers left. There's Tate and
Cannon. That's also why I'm like, what are you talking about?
The two of them are left. I can't tell you which one it is, but it will be an age gap, and it will be a workplace romance, and it will be Grumpy Sunshine. And my heroine in this book, I love, because she is very opinionated. She's very strong. She's very much like, this is what I want. This is what needs to happen. This is what we're going to do. And her job is, she takes care of rich people's plants. She's like a babysitter for plants.
But she gets paid great. Rich people love their plants.
And so this is her thing, and which I haven't seen done before, and I really love that. And on Facebook the other day, Sloan Howell, who's an author, he made a post the other day being a smartass. And have this car, and it's called like an AMC, I don't remember what it's called now. It's an old car, they don't make it anymore. And it's not a cute car. And he's like, somebody needs to make this, if you really think you can make a hero sexy driving this car or whatever. And then he tags me in the comments, he's like, Locke, this is all you, make this happen. Just trolling me, and I was like, done. And he's like, okay, right. Well, I have done that in this book. And he's like, he saw it today when I announced the book and that was in it. And he was like, I was just trolling you, but I'm here for it. And I'm like, don't challenge me, buddy.
I'm like, look what happened when your husband challenged you. Now you're 40 million books deep. Like, don't dare me to do something.
Men never learn.
Amen. Oh my gosh. I know. I was very excited when I was... You really did have me for a minute, though. I was like, oh, well, I guess they don't matter. I was like, I guess we have to forget about them. And then you're like, just kidding. And I was like, should have listened to my gut.
You know I wouldn't leave you hanging.
Yeah. Because you know I'd be in your DMs like, hey.
Hey, girl, hey.
Bullying you, I will do it too, publicly. But all of that to lead to, which was all great, but this book, your new release, Between Now and Forever, was so good. You go from laughing to crying. The meet cute honestly took me out. Please tell us all, like, about it. Who came first to you? It was like, did Jay come first? Or like, just please, like, let's do a big old deep dive on it. This can be our spoiler alert down in the timestamps in case anyone hasn't had a chance to read it yet, but we are about to spill everything. So please.
Gabby is our heroine. She came to me first, which is kind of unusual. Usually it's the hero that comes to me first, mm-hmm. but Gabby came to me first, and I just have this like thought of this woman who was like, you know, in her like hitting 40, and she just sort of feels like, you know, I've done, and she's had all these things happen to her. So she's had a divorce, but she was still friends with him. And then he's passed away and they have two boys together. And so she's really just, she's dealt with a lot. And she's now moving back to her hometown thinking like, I need the support and I need to like, you know, figure out who I am here. And not in like in a cheesy way, but kind of like, I'm just sort of surviving my own life. Right. Yeah. Like, I don't want to just survive my life because these boys are watching me and I don't want them to feel like they should have the grief of losing their father to
stunt you completely.
Them like they think it has, you know, me. And so that's kind of how I felt for her, but I didn't feel sad for her. I felt like empowered by her. And I feel like she's very positive and she's very much like, I'll just do it myself. I'll fix it myself.
Yeah.
And she does the best she can, which is not always the right thing, which is not always like, she doesn't handle everything the right way, but she comes from such a good spot that I really love her.
She was incredible. Like, I like how real she was. Like, you can soak, like, even if you haven't gone through everything she's gone through, there are so many things about her that I feel like a lot of us can, like, relate to, because she is just putting her best foot forward, trying to do best by her kids, but also like she's still a human living her own life for the first time. And now as a single parent, because I mean like the co-parenting was awesome like that they had, but I don't know. There was something about her where I was like, oh gosh, she could be my friend. I was like, sometimes I don't give people that title because I'm like, I don't know if they would like me and all my anxiousness. But I was like, I feel like she would be such a good friend. And she was just so good. And then when she meets her hot, grumpy neighbor, I was just like, I'm down bad. I'm down bad with you, girl. I'd be leaning over that balcony rail too. How did that meet you come to be? Please. Like, I was cackling. I could not. I don't know. It was just so funny.
I was just thinking, like, if I was her, like, I would totally, and I see him across the yard, you know, I'm going to look. And so I was just kind of writing it, not really sure how it was going to play out. And he walks around where she can't see him anymore. She's looking and can't see him. And I'm like, well, I would go outside. Like, fuck it at this point, right?
You would find a reason to go outside. Yeah.
Sure, for me not to be looking at you.
So she goes outside and then, you know, she's kind of over the railing and then I'm like, oh my God, that's gonna break. And she's in this towel. And like, so it just sort of happened very organically. And once she just fell, it just kind of all happened. And like, you know, there's a snake and like all these things. And I had the best time writing that. I'm notorious. My beta readers will tell you, I will write the first chapter 35 times or more. And I think I wrote that once and I was like, this is it.
I can believe it. It was so good. It was hilarious. And then when you get like him and he's just, I was just like, well, you're in for it now, girl. You've done literally stepped in it. You've just created your own little path. How did Jay come to be?
What she needed in life was someone to be very stable and very just like consistent and to show up for her. And of course, that's not what he wants to do, but he can't help it because Jay really is just a good person. Mm-hmm. And I think he has the best intentions, even in the moment where she falls and, you know, he gets her out of the bushes and she's forgotten that she's in this towel that is open in the back and her butt is showing to the whole neighborhood. The fact that he tells her, don't move, and he takes his shirt off and wraps it around. Like, he's always aware from that first meet cute of what she needs. He knows, like, just like instinctively. And I think she needs that. But I think he also needed, it's such a part of who he is that he needed someone to need him so that he could give that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then with him, though, still, like, he wanted it but didn't want it because he didn't want to get burned again. And I loved the push and pull because he was like, he's a giver, like a great giver. But I liked that he was still like, but I have to protect myself because I've already been burned once. And it made him come back down to earth too, some, like, you know, even though it was wrote by a woman, I was like, you know, he's just a man. You know, I'm like, he's just a man trying to do best by his own heart too. And then his relationship with the kids was everything. I absolutely love the way you write your kids. And as you said, like, you get a lot of inspo from yours, but it's so good. I just loved it.
Thank you. I wonder always what would happen between Gabby and Jay if Carter didn't need to use his pumper all the time. No, Carter coming over and just like, kind of...
You tell us.
I feel like Carter was also what Jay needed in a way, right? Because Jay could kind of take his walls down just a little bit with Carter because he was a little kid and he could kind of like loosen up a little bit and not necessarily worry about getting hurt in his conversations with Carter. And, you know, Carter's just Carter. Like, he'll just tell it to you the way it is.
He's just a kid.
They're honest.
Kid. And I love that it was the youngest because I feel like that makes sense. You know, he could understand things a little more. And so it made perfect sense that it was the youngest. And they're kind of just like, well, I'm just going to the neighbor's house. Like, I'm just going to the neighbor's house because he has everything we need.
Yeah, they were a lot of fun to write. And even Dylan, like, you know, he's the teenager and he's having a really rough time and he's kind of a jerk in a lot of ways. And Carter calls him a jerk face or something. But even Dylan was fun to write in a way to explore that relationship and, you know, what that looks like as a mother, like from the other side. And, you know, this guy coming in and seeing this whole situation and then him trying to figure out, how do I navigate this? How do I not make it worse, but also support them? And it just made things kind of really, you know, sticky for a while.
It was so good. Everyone needs to read it. I feel like when I get these books in my head and I read them, I'm just like, listen, you guys aren't going to hear anything else for a while. It's my whole personality.
And I have never, one thing I've never done that I did in this book too, because like I was saying, the last 2 years have been about me doing things that I haven't necessarily done before. But after you write a certain number of books, you have to, like, you know, you want to challenge yourself and stretch things a little bit. Is I've never written a group of friends like the friends that Gabby has. You know, she really has a strong friend group of women, and they're all so different, and they come from such different places. And that was a lot of fun to write, and to write their stories, and to kind of, you know, they all have threads going through the whole thing about what they're experiencing. And that was a lot of fun too.
There's something about the girl gangs that I feel like a lot of us eat up, either because we're searching for it or because we see so many of our like girlfriends, like that's her and that's you, but it is really good. I feel like, I don't know, you just do such a good job. Like, I've never read like one of your like books and then being like, oh, well, this is like this. You know what I mean? It's always, even though you're sticking into like your amazing, like small town bread and butter, it's always such a new perspective that you give to each of these characters, which I feel like is so hard to do sometimes. Like, even some of the best authors that I love, I could be like, well, that's just like this guy, or that's just like this guy. But I feel like you always bring something new to the table, which is so fun. Like, you never know what you're gonna get next.
Thank you. Back to Gail McHugh, who told me to write what I know. She told me when I first started out writing about my characters, because I was like, how do you make them different? Like, how do you? And she was like, you always want to think about it like this. If you were walking down the sidewalk and one of your characters was walking towards you, you would want to know who they are by how they walk, what they have in their hand, what they're wearing, how they're speaking. They should never have to introduce themselves to you. You should know by being able to see them and to smell them and, you know, watch their mannerisms. So I really try to put a lot of work into making sure that my characters and their situations don't look like replicas of other things. It's not just like, okay, here's Joe as a cowboy and here's Joe as a Navy SEAL, you know, trying to make them different.
That's great advice. I feel like we have a lot of debut authors and people that want to become authors, but that's great. I don't think anyone's ever broke it down like that, but it makes sense too. Because, like, it's not a bad thing. I mean, I know there are probably some authors that have wrote so many books that they're like, at some point, it's going to have to repeat a little bit.
Oh, it will happen. It does happen. It does repeat itself for sure. Like, I can look at some things and be like, oh, well, that was, you know, quite a lot like this person, you know, character. Mm-hmm. But you do try. You know, I do try really hard to, like, minimize that as much as possible.
It's so good. I'm like, this one definitely could be not a standalone. You're always trying to make you write more books. I'm like, listen, Each of the, we could always have more friends.
I think if there was anybody from that world that I would ever want to write about, it would be Della. Her story, like, what is she doing? You know what I mean?
Could you tell me what is she doing right now?
Well, you tell us what she's doing.
I feel like this woman has so many stories. And, like, her life is so wild. Like, wilder than we think on paper. And I would just... If there was a character that I was ever going to, like, explore, it would be Della.
I feel like she's the type of person that's, like, you know, the person that makes, like, I don't know, cuts the holes out of straws? Like, I had that job. Like, I feel like that's her... The most random job in the whole world, she'd be like, yeah, I did that. And I'm just like, of course you did. Now tell me. I know we're chatting your ear off, but like, what is next? Like, I know you're having the merger, but like, you release a lot of books normally in a year, and it's so good. I don't even know how you write so fast. What is going on in your brain? But like, what does your writing journey look like? Do you ever want to like step out of like your comfort zone completely and do something like totally off the walls? Or like, what are some of your goals for 2025?
I actually don't have a lot of it planned out. I know that I finished this series. The merger will be in February, and then the last book in the series will be in April. Okay. And then I don't quite know what the next part of this year. I always have it figured out. And like, usually in August, I sit down and I like map out the next year. And I didn't do that this year. I think I released 5 or 6 books this year.
You released 6 books this year.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Impressive.
And I love you, but I'm just like, do you sleep? Are you a vampire? You have to tell me.
That's why I don't read Twilight, because I'm a vampire. Yeah,
I'm like,
too,
you don't legally tell me if you're a vampire.
No, I don't. So this year I was just kind of like, this coming year, I just kind of want to see what happens. I mean, I have thought about writing a cozy mystery for years and years and years. Yeah. I don't know if I'll ever do that, but I've thought about it. I thought about writing a trilogy. I thought about co-writing with someone. I've had all of these like thoughts, and I'm always so locked into a schedule. That's why I don't have things on pre-order, just the merger, because I kind of just want to give myself some time after I finish this Brewer series to kind of be like, what do I want to do? Like, I know what readers expect generally, but like, what do I want to do? Where do I want to go?
You should. I know that you always want to please your fans and your readers, but I think that's a good lesson to be told at any level of reader or author. Like, hey, you're allowed to step back and do what you want to do. Maybe you take it slower, and then that would probably make people go fucking crazy for another release. You know, be like, what do you mean you went from 100 books? 3, but like, we would all still be here. Would you ever do something crazy, like out completely 180? Like, would you ever like write under a pen name and do dark romance? Or do you think that that's just not, like, you just don't know how to approach it? Not that there's anything wrong with that, but would you ever like try to challenge yourself in that way?
In other things, yes. Not dark romance, because it's not something that I typically enjoy. I'm very particular about like dark romance specifically. Like I'm just very particular. Like, I don't like non-consensual anything except Captive in the Dark. Do you know that? Have you read that?
Mm-mm. I'm like, yep.
Caitlin doesn't exactly have her consent. I don't exactly care. Like, you know what I mean?
There's an exception to every rule, Sister Brett.
I feel like in his heart, he loved her.
I love that one.
Yeah. Like, so probably not dark romance. It's just not my jam. I couldn't do it justice because I don't. It's just not my thing. But I could. Like, I have, like, all kinds of ideas. It's just kind of like, you know, where do you want to put your time? And I would love to do something different. And I would, like I said, I would love to co-write with someone. But that's such a hard... things have to line up and the way you write has... And I write really crazy in the sense that my brain works. Like, I will spend so much time on the first act of a book. Like, maybe a month. But as soon as the first act is done, I can finish that thing in 10 days. Like, I just sit in my office and go, which is very hard to keep up with for other people. And I could never, like, I can't just do 2K a day like people do. My brain doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Some authors do, like, their writing sprints and stuff. I'm just, like, I'm amazed. I just can't even believe how you guys operate. And you're all so different in your brain. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine why, like, how co-writing could be so hard.
Yeah. You would have to find your soulmate, you know, and I've never found that. So
they're out there. You've just they're out there. Right here.
If you're my soulmate, find me.
Hello.
Let's fall in love.
I don't know how to write, but I could do anything for you. I'd be anything you want me to be. You've also been doing some like fun new covers like a lot of your books. Do you have like any new ones coming or any like special editions coming out in the new year that we should keep our eyes peeled for?
I may be recovering another series. We're kind of working on it, kind of seeing what we can come up with. And I just did the new Carmichael series.
They're so good.
Which are so pretty. And then, you know, the merger has a really great special edition cover with it that matches the proposal. I'm so excited to release those covers.
Obsessed. Give us the cover. Do you try to do any conventions, or are the book conventions your thing, or do you not like them? Is it overwhelming?
I have done a lot of them in the past. In 2025, I actually have dropped all the ones that I'm going to do, except next year I still have, it's in Indianapolis. I can't quite come up with the name off the top of my head. But in Indianapolis, I can drive from where I live in Ohio, and that won't be hard. But I just feel like I have done so many lately, and they're just exhausting, and I just need some time to kind of like recalibrate. I think this next year for me is a lot about just sort of, you know, recalibrating things and, you know, kind of taking a deep breath and, you know, putting, not that the magic is gone, but just like renewing the magic of writing.
I think that's great. Putting you first, you put your readers first and everything else is so crazy that you deserve it. Especially because like your audiobooks always come out same day or like super close with a lot of your stories. Do you find that that's been hard to adjust to that since all of the success, or because you have to do you approve a lot of do you have to go through and approve those things, or do you rely on a team to help you?
Yeah, I have people who help me do that for sure. But I'm trying to inch closer and closer and closer to like having the audio on release day of the ebook and paperback. The way that I write makes it hard. But I'm trying to get, I have gotten closer and closer. And I feel like I'm a little snail, like taking these steps. But no, I am getting there. So, yeah. It's one of my goals for 2025 is to get to that where they're on the same day every time.
That would be, that's incredible. Just in the audio itself, I feel like we've learned just from having other people on, and just, I do work with some authors, and there's so much that goes on in your guys' lives. I don't even know how you do it all, genuinely. I work with Elliot Rose, and she's always I'm writing this book, and then I need to read this book, but then the audio is coming out for this book, and I'm and I'm like, hi, I don't know what's going on. You just sent me an email, okay? I feel like you're amazing. You're doing so good. I love all your books, but I do a lot of them in audio or an immersion read. So it's always fun that to get if I eyeball read it, and then when the audio comes out, I'm like, well, I'm going to just do a reread while
audios are not my jam. I can't listen to them.
Do you have a hard time when you have to go through your corrections and be like, oh gosh, do you feel like that's part of the thing that you struggle with?
Yeah. I usually have people listen to it, and then they say that here are some places where it doesn't, you need to and I'll listen to those. And I always listen to the start of every chapter. I cannot listen to a spicy scene that I've written. Really? No.
Does it make you blush?
Yeah, I can't, I don't know why.
You're blushing at your own writing is the best thing I think you've ever said.
I don't even, so when I write one, I will send it to my beta readers, and I'm like, I don't care if you like it or not. If you make a note, I'm not reading it. I'm not changing it. Do what you want with it.
The spicy scene is locked in. It's never changing.
They've done it like this. It's the way that it's going to be. As a 43-year-old woman with 4 kids, I don't know why. And I read a lot of smut that other people write, but when I write it, to me, I'm just like, oh, this is mortifying.
Are those the last things that you write? Because
it used to be. So I used to write, when I would get to one of those, I would put brackets and I would write insert sex scene here. And my beta readers are like, you're like, what? You can't do that. And I'm like, well, you did.
Black in an adult smut book? What the fuck?
I don't do that now. I write through it. But now if I write them, I have to write them at nighttime. I have a whole thing that has to happen when I write them.
It's a little ritual.
Yeah. Is there a certain beverage that you got to have with you or what?
Like I gotta
sometimes like a rum and coke helps.
Yeah.
Like,
but I think really
loosen up that mind a little bit.
I think what the thing probably is that I've always had kids yelling and running, and my husband and three of my four children are all like insomniacs. Like nobody sleeps in this house ever, except for me and one of my sons.
Vampire.
And so it's like always, it's really hard to write a spicy scene when like there's like two kids with their, you know, cheeks pressed up to your office window, like going, we see the sign, but you know, we need tacos, you know. It's hard to like, you know, stay in the zone. So I think that's probably contributed to my like frustration with writing this.
Maybe that comfort, the cozy little mystery is exactly what you need.
Yeah. But it is fun then, because when you read back this, like, or if I happen to, like, if somebody posts like an excerpt from it and I read it, I'm like, oh, I wrote that. That's great.
I did
like,
that.
Like, you know, like,
And like moving on, I'm not even kidding. You have great spicy. So that
thanks.
You are nailing it, because
three
you write,
you're doing it. I appreciate that.
I have to make myself delusional to write it, but they are fantastic.
I used to block everything out, everyone out, and like not hear the kids wrestling upstairs and the dogs yelling, and like it's a whole thing.
You just have to pretend like your real life isn't going on, which I can
exactly. Hey,
I feel like that's a lot of us do when we're reading, too. So yep. It's all okay.
That's why we're reading, to escape that real life.
Oh, my gosh. You are incredible. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you to see what comes next, but also just kind of, like, relax. It sounds like you're putting yourself forward and putting yourself first, which that sounds good. I feel like that's a lot. Like, a lot of us are kind of getting to that space. Like, we just have to chill. We all were going a little too crazy, I feel like, for the past 4 years. Now we're like, hey, what if we all slow down and try to recenter ourselves? Even though I said that, and then today I made a post and I was like, look at all these 100 books coming out in January. I'm going to try to read them all.
Yeah, and I was like, damn it.
We literally were just did our like end of year wrap up, and we were like, we're going to take it slow in the new year. And then I posted that today, and I was like, we're not taking it slow. We're reading every day another book. Let's bring it on.
Sure, that'll be me too. Like right now I'm like, my word of next year is me. Like I, you know, whatever. And then January 2nd's going to roll around and I'm like, so I've plotted out another series. Like, you know what I mean?
Your colleague, whoever up, you're like, I have 7 books I'm releasing this year. Let's do one more than last year. We're all going to be like, this is incredible.
I know.
But also,
so feel free to call me out on that in like July when I'm on book 4. You know, be like, hey,
I think
you
that sounds great. I think that you need to come back on here for sure, so we can talk more releases, more fun. I don't know. Come up. Maybe we'll have to do it in the 3 a.m. delusion. We just are like, come to delusion on
3 a.m. me is fun. Okay.
Cool. We can get behind that for sure. Gosh, you're so fun. I feel like this really is just like a big FaceTime call. Like these are the best episodes when authors, like, we hold you guys at such a high pedestal, even though we know you guys are humans, but I feel like when authors can come on and like strip down your walls and just have fun, that's where I'm just like, they're just girls. You guys are just girls
like
hanging out, writing great spice. I mean, like, that's all it is to it. You are so incredible. Seriously, we would love to have you back on. We can talk more and I can push you on Brewer Family now that you've spilled the beans and you're not making me have a freaking heart attack about leaving two people out. I was like,
Gannon would have been fine being left out, but Tate would never have handled that well. Like, he would have been like, no.
He would have literally never heard the end of it. I'm not kidding.
Never.
Every day. Good morning. What are you doing about it? Where is he going to show up in the future?
I will come back anytime. It's been so much fun, and I love talking with you guys and chatting, and anytime you want me, just let me know.
Seriously, you think that I'm kidding, but I have already made authors, like, I'm already making them in this lineup. So just expect an email. Hi, would you like to record on this date? We can talk about this once your trade secrets get published. Truly, so, so good. Everyone, go read all of her, even though you guys probably have. But if you have not read her newest release, Between Now and Forever, you need to read it. It's so good. Plus, we have a fun little giveaway coming when we go live. We will link everything down below, your Facebook group. I will hunt you if you can hunt down that convention. If you find it, don't worry about it. But we'll link everything below so everyone can find you and Goodreads and all of that. And this was so good.
It was so much fun.
I can't wait to get it up because I know that everyone is going to eat this episode up. So until the next time, everyone, I am your host, Father Lib.
And I am your co-host, Sister Britt.
And we will see you guys next time. Peace and blessings. Bye.
Bye, guys. Peace and blessings.